Chapter 15. In his career as a police official, Felix Buckman had used this shuck each time he had come up against a six. He relied on it especially when, as with this, the encounter was sudden. There had been four of them. All, eventually, had believed him. This he found amusing. The sixes, eugenic experiments themselves, and secret ones, seemed unusually gullible when confronted with the assertion that there existed an additional project as classified as their own. Without this shock, he would be, to a six, merely an ordinary. He could not properly handle a six under such a disadvantage. Hence the ploy. Through it, his relationship to a six inverted itself. And, under such recreated conditions, he could deal successfully with an otherwise unmanageable human being. The actual psychological superiority over him which a six possessed was abolished by an unreal fact. He liked this very much. Once, in an off moment, he had said to Alice, "I can outthink a six for roughly 10 to 15 minutes. But if it goes on any longer..." He had made a gesture, crumpling up a black market cigarette package, with two cigarettes in it. After that, their over-amped field wins out. "What I need is a pry bar by which I can jack open their haughty damn minds." And at last, he had found it. "Why a seven?" Alice had said. "As long as you're shucking them, why not say 8 or 38? The sin of vainglory, reaching too far. He had not wanted to make that legendary mistake. "I will tell them," he had told her grimly, "what I think they'll believe." And in the end, he had proved outright. "They won't believe you," Alice had said. "Oh, hell, will they?" he had retorted. "It's their secret fear, their bête noire. They're the sixth in a line of DNA reconstruction systems, and they know that if it could be done to them, it could be done to others in a more advanced degree." Alice, uninterested, had said faintly, "You should be an announcer on TV selling soap." And that constituted the totality of her reaction. If Alice did not give a damn about something, that something for her ceased to exist. Probably she should not have gotten away with it for as long as she had, but sometime, he had often thought, the retribution will come. Reality denied comes back to haunt, to overtake the person without warning and make him insane. And Alice, he had a number of times thought, was in some odd sense, in some unusual clinical way, pathological. He sensed it, but could not pin it down. However, many of his hunches were like that. It did not bother him as much as he loved her. He knew he was right. Now, facing Jason Taverner, a six, he developed his shuck ploy. "There were very few of us," Buckman said, now seating himself at his oversized oak desk. "Only four in all. One is already dead, so that leaves three. I don't have the slightest idea where they are. We retain even less contact among ourselves than do you sixes, which is little enough." "Who was your muter?" Jason asked. "Dill Temko. Same as yours. He controlled groups 5 through 7, and then he retired. As you certainly know, he's dead now." "Yes," Jason said. "It shocked us all." "Us too," Buckman said in his most somber voice. "Dill Temko was our parent. Our only parent. Did you know that at the time of his death he had begun to prepare a schema on an 8th group? What would they have been like?" "Only Dill Temko knew," Buckman said, and felt his superiority over the six facing him grow. "And yet, how fragile his psychological edge. One wrong statement, one statement too much, and it would vanish. Once lost, he would never regain it. It was the risk he took. But he enjoyed it. He had always liked betting against the odds, gambling in the dark. He had in him, at times like this, a great sense of his own ability, and he did not consider it imagined, despite what a six that knew him to be an ordinary would say. That did not bother him one bit. Touching a button, he said, "Peggy, bring us a pot of coffee, cream, and the rest. Thanks." He then leaned back with studied leisure and surveyed Jason Taverner. Anyone who had met a six would recognize Taverner. The strong torso, the massive conformation of his arms and back, his powerful ram-like head. But most ordinaries had never knowingly come up against a six. They did not have his experience, nor his carefully synthesized knowledge of them. To Alice he had once said, "They will never take over and run my world." "You don't have a world. You have an office." At that point, he terminated the discussion. "Mr. Taverner," he said bluntly, "how have you managed to get documents, cards, microfilm, even complete files out of data banks all over the planet? I've tried to imagine how it could be done, but I come up with a blank." He fixed his attention on the handsome but aging face of the six and waited.